Welcome. You're listening to episode number 318 of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Our topic today, wedding registry rules and rigmarole. Can you tell I've been consulting my thesaurus? My name is Debbie Quain. Thank you for joining me. It's Tuesday, September 4th, 2012, and I've got another great information-packed show for you. You can catch a live broadcast of Confetti on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you're thinking about becoming a wedding planner or starting your own wedding planning business, then you're in the right place. To get show schedules and show replays, visit the Confetti Radio website at confettiradio.com. If you're based in the United States, you should be a Confetti Insider. Simply text the word CONFETTI to the number 72727 to receive a text message when a live show is about to begin. Again, just text the word C-O, N like November, F like Frank, E-T-T-I to 72727. For additional free, easy-to-digest info about this wonderful, wonderful world of weddings, please visit weddingsforaliving.com. And there you'll find a treasure trove of articles and more about what else? Planning weddings for a living. If you're past the thinking stage, if you're past the thinking about it stage, then you should check out weddingbusinessguide.com for help with starting and growing a wedding planning business of your own. Okay? To participate in today's live show, I've got a fly in this room here, and I'm desperately trying to get it, a little net. Sorry. To participate in today's show, which I would absolutely love for you to do, simply log into the chat room on the Blog Talk Radio show page or on the Confetti Live show page. So go to confettilive.com and you can find the chat room there. If you're on Twitter, please use the Confetti Radio hashtag to ask your questions, okay? To listen or ask your questions on the telephone, please call in. The number is 626-213-5678, and I can see several of you on the phones. Welcome. Simply press the number 1 to ask your question live, okay? So, wonderful for everyone that's here. This show, as I said, is broadcast live on Tuesdays. We were doing every other Tuesday, but now through November, God willing, we're going to go to a weekly format, okay? Our last show, we talked about wedding stationery and invitations. And thank you all for your kind comments and your feedback. It really keeps me going. So you can check out the replay of that show at confettiradio.com/317. And please feel free to post your comments there. Remember, you can also leave a voicemail message for me 24 hours a day. The number is on the Confetti Radio website. I refuse to give you any more numbers to think about. So if you go to confettiradio.com, you'll see there's a telephone number you can call there. And just leave a recorded message. If you'd like me to play your, if it's okay for me to play your question on the air, I'll do that. If it's a private question, that's fine too. I've also been receiving a lot of your emails asking for a personal response. I'm seeing each and every one of them, at least I hope so. But it's not always possible for me to respond right then and there. And sometimes I'll reserve the response for when I'm doing a show like this so that we can all benefit from the answer. So I've seen a couple of emails where it's like, I asked this and you haven't answered it yet. And one of the questions that came up was, I'm going to paraphrase here. What should I do? I finished my wedding certification. Should I be an intern? What should I do to get going? And I'll give you the short response, but I'm going to go over that at another time. You know, there's never going to be a perfect time to do anything, whether it's wedding planning, whether it's starting your business, doing something else. So my recommendation is to just jump in and get going. You know, you'll be amazed at how much you know and how much people are willing to pay for that information. Or even if they're not at the pay stage, they want to hear what it is that you have to say. So, you know, if you've gone through the trouble of going through a wedding planning certification course, which I'm guessing you've probably paid a pretty penny for, interning is great, but I would say, you know, get going with your business. Get going, you know, take baby steps. There is an episode, and I'm afraid that I don't have the episode number, lack of preparation on my part, on Confetti Radio, and it's called 10 Things That You Need to Have in Place Before You Start Your Wedding Planning Business. And if you listen to that, you'll get some pointers as to what to do to get going. Again, it's never going to be a perfect time, so just jump in. And when I say jump in, not recklessly, but, you know, you go through your planning and go through your setup for your business, but just get going and start talking to vendors. Once you begin talking to people who are already in this business, you'll see a difference. It's going to propel you. It's going to move you forward, and they're going to start recommending brides to you, assuming you know what it is that you're doing. Okay. All right. So for those of you just joining, welcome again. You're listening to Confetti Radio. My name is Debbie Quain. If you'd like to call in, the number is 626-213-5678. Just hit the number 1 and I will bring your question on live. If you want to join in the chat room, I've opened up 2 chat rooms because it got confusing for the last 2 shows. The show is broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/confetti, you can go ahead and post your comment there. Just go to the chat room at the bottom of the page. If you go over to confettilive.com, confetti, L-I-V like Victor, E like Edward.com, you'll see the live video stream, and there is a chat room there too. I can see a few of you there. Oh, gosh, got it. That gnat in this room is driving me berserk. Sorry. For those of you watching, you can see what I'm going through here. You can go ahead and post your comments on Confetti Live. I see a few of you there, and oh, this bug is driving me crazy. I'm going to go crazy when I listen to the audio playback here. live, I'm going to go live. There's always something. So please feel free to post your Facebook page, your website URL, your Twitter handle, your Pinterest URL, however it is you want people to reach you. I hope you can enter in the chat because the chat's active. Chatroll is the company that I use for our chat, and it's kind of going back and forth. So I hope you guys can get in there and type your comments and your questions, okay? Let me just type a comment in here. Okay. All right. So let's get back to today's show, which is all about wedding registry rules and rigmarole. Yeah, you know, I've just been in the thesaurus all week and just want to show off with some big words here. But really, most of your clients will register for their wedding gifts. So it's helpful, as in most instances, for us as wedding planners to know what the deal is, what we need to do. So that's what we're going to cover tonight, if I can just get my notes up here. Okay, so by definition, really the wedding registry, and let me back up a moment. This is part of our KNOW, No Wedding series, and it's really going over the basics of what happens at a wedding, the different elements, because as wedding planners, we should know what happens at a wedding, right? That's the goal. So a wedding registry really is it's just the process of completing a list of things. So your clients will complete a list of things that they would like to have in the quantity they'd like to have them. And then their guests will purchase items from that list. That's really what it's all about, okay? Most stores, so a registry is set up at a different store, different areas. Most stores make the registry process as painless as possible. So it's something that's easy to get going, easy to get started. Christophe, which is the French silver manufacturer, actually claims to have invented the registry way back in 1850-something, I believe. But, you know, registering for gifts is actually a really brilliant concept because for couples, it gives them a chance to say and hopefully get what it is that they really want. You know, there's less chance that they're going to get duplicate gifts. For wedding guests, it actually provides them with guidance about what to get for the guests of honor. And most guests actually welcome that because if I have to buy a gift for someone, I'm not quite sure what it is I've got to find for them. A wedding registry takes care of that. I can look through and see, oh, okay. And then for the stores, it obviously is a chance for them to get in on this huge piece of pie, which is the bridal market. But it also gives them a chance to develop for the clients, the bride and groom, to develop shopping loyalty. Because the whole idea is that they'll go through the store and pick out all the items that they want in the hopes that their wedding guests will buy these items for them. But the mere fact that they're in the store is that subconscious loyalty to that store. So it's a win-win-win for everybody, for your clients, for the guests, and for the stores that engage and that have a wedding registry. Just to give you a little bit of background about my experience, I was actually a bridal consultant for a high-end store, which is really just the title for the person who works at the bridal registry. So my job was to meet with clients, brides and grooms primarily, but not always, who was setting up their registry, help them with that, and then be their point of contact through that entire process. It's a really great way for you to sort of dip your toe in the water, kind of, sorta. And I say that because it's more salesy than it is weddingy, if you know what I mean, because what it requires is that you have an extensive knowledge about the products that are in the store. So I would need to, I learned way more than I needed to know about silverware and flatware and other products, you know, bedding and things like that. So depending on how you feel and what your interest, where your interests lie, that may or may not be a good thing. Also got to learn a heck of a lot about etiquette and, you know, what's, you know, place settings and things like that. So if you sort of, and I think I found that position actually, I think I Googled bridal consultant on Craigslist years ago, and that's how I found that spot. And that was the title that this store gave that. I mean, different stores call it different things, but being a bridal consultant in a bridal registry really is a great way to get yourself comfortable with talking with clients and understanding how brides and grooms in your area think. Again, there's no one way of thinking, but it just gives you a sampling of the whole process. So when should a couple register? Well, your couple should register as soon as possible. By the time the wedding invitations go out, your client should already be registered. So depending on where you come in the wedding planning process, make sure that you pass that information on to them. If they haven't registered, try to get them to do so. You know, I do, you know, suggest that your clients really start planning their registry right after their engagement. That's not too soon. Oh, you guys are saying there's no video? Really? Okay, if you go to Confetti Live and you hit refresh, you should see video. If you hit F5, let me see if I can fix that. Hold on a second. What's going on? No video, huh? Oh, okay. Hi, Chazelle. Chazelle can see. So if you guys are on confettilive.com, just hit refresh or F5 or whatever that function is, and you should be able to see the video, I would imagine. I would hope. So give that a go. Okay. Because someone's saying they can see it, I'm going to move on. I hope that's okay. But you can listen to the audio. You can always jump over to blogtalkradio.com if you can't see or can't hear the audio. Okay. So, yeah, you want to get your clients registered as soon as possible. And a lot of clients I know that I work with sort of delay on that, but sooner is much better than later. The thing about the registry is that it may not be the first thing on our minds as wedding planners, but it really isn't. It shouldn't be a spur of the moment thing. There should be a methodical approach to the wedding to the registry. So, you know, your clients want to be thinking about, you know, what's missing from their lives. You know, what types of things do they need in their homes? I mean, are they getting married later in life? Have they established things, or are they brand new? Are they living together? Those kind of things. You know, what types of patterns and items appeal to them? Do they want sort of the traditional sort of things that they want to have in their home? Is it more modern, more of a minimalist kind of approach? You know, maybe even have them suggest that they visit a few of the stores before they register. Many of your clients will already know they've already got a sense of the style. So it's okay for them to go, you know, suggest that they go to a store and just sort of look through the items that a store has without registering, without signing up, to get a feel for what they want. Collecting brochures and magazines is really a good idea. There's not one bridal magazine that you're going to find that doesn't have registry stuff and registry ads. You as a wedding planner could do this too. It's, you know, another service that you can provide. Just stop by some of the department stores or the stores that you know that have a registry and have those items on hand. You also, couples should really be realistic about the wedding registry. You know, it's about needs versus wants. The great thing about getting married, I mean, besides, you know, marrying the love of your life, is that you get all these gifts. It's like Christmas, birthday, everything just rolled up into one. And you get to say, I'd like to have this, I'd like to have that. So, couples still need to be realistic, because the tendency can be, well, we would never get this on our own. Maybe we can get this, we put this on our registry and we can get such and such. But they've got to be realistic, because everybody has different budgets, and it's a good idea to select items in a variety of price ranges. So, you know, you can have some things that are at the lower end and some things that are at the higher end of the scale. So the idea is for them to sort of think needs versus wants, and they can splurge. There's nothing wrong with that, but just, you know, let's just be real. Not everybody's going to have a couple of $1,000 to spend on their wedding gift. So where should your couple register? There are tons of resources and lots of places where your clients can register, but this is where your role as a wedding planner goes into first gear. And I know many of us are not thinking about this, but a main part, think about this, right? The main part of growing your wedding planning business includes adding vendors to your little black book or your iPad or whatever device it is that you keep all of your, you know, your resources and your contacts in. So, you know, hopefully you've got a list of caterers, you've got photographers, videographers, venues, all sorts of wedding vendors, you know, on your list. But stores that have a wedding registry should also be part of your vendor research. And many planners, and I'm guilty of this, may not be taking advantage of this. So if you currently don't have wedding registry places, stores in your area on your wedding vendor list, rethink that and think seriously about doing that. You want to make friends with bridal registry staff. And again, think about this. Many bridal registry consultants are either commissioned or they receive some sort of incentive when couples register. Well, actually, it's as the gifts are purchased because it's a sale, right? So that's nothing new. In a lot of stores, when an item is purchased, the person that sells you that item receives some sort of get something in return, either in the form of commission, you know, percentage of money on their check, or some other sort of incentive. So here you come along, Mr. or Ms. Wedding Planner, and you are the person that can send couples to them. Doesn't that sound like a good working relationship? Because they're going to welcome the business that you send to them. And just like any other professional wedding vendor, they are also likely to send clients to you. It's reciprocal. It's what we do as human beings. When someone does something for me, I am more inclined to want to do something for them. Granted, that's not the only reason, but it's just the way that things are. So, if you haven't made friends with some of the bridal consultants or whatever the title is of the representatives that are in the stores that have bridal registries in your area, do that. Make a point to do that. It's easy to do, and again, it's usually a welcome conversation. Also, as a sidebar, when you're in that position, I know, as I told you, I worked at a bridal registry for a national high. This gnat in my office is driving me crazy. when I worked as a bridal consultant there, we got a lot of freebies. A lot of the manufacturers would come by with their items. And I'm talking about some really nice things. And I still have a stash of things that are sitting in boxes here because I'm waiting to redo my kitchen. So, you know, things like high-end cookware, kitchenware. I got a Christoph bookmark, some different items, a really fancy letter opener, things that I probably would never consider purchasing for myself. But as someone on that staff, the manufacturers want you to push their items. So it stands to reason that they're going to present these items to you. So a lot of the freebies that the staff is getting when you are a wedding planner, an outside wedding, independent wedding planner, making friends with them, again, this is not the whole reason for doing so. A lot of the things that they have access to, they will provide to you also. It's sort of like, hey, you know, you've got to check out this, you know, the Christoph representative dropped these items off. Hey, you should have one. I want you. And again, it's that same idea that when you, Mr. or Miss Wedding Planner, are familiar with these products, you can then steer your clients and show them to your clients, and they may ultimately want to, you know, add those to your registry. So do you get you also get a feel of what that store has to offer. So then you can now pass on, based on what your client's style is, what their budget is, you can say, well, you know, I know this, you know, store XYZ, and items that they've got in their store sound like the things that you guys might want to have as part of your registry. So you kind of get what I mean? A bridal registry, don't dismiss it. Don't sort of do it as an afterthought. Include the bridal registry staff. Consider them, you know, vendors. So take action. Here's what I would suggest that you do. You know, contact the wedding registry manager. He or she is driven by sales, as are most of the staff there, but definitely the bridal registry manager. And either make an appointment with that person or have them make an appointment, have them tell you who you should make an appointment with. This is going to be your opportunity to ask a lot of questions. You want to pick a time when the store is not busy. So, you know, Saturday afternoon probably is not the best time to do that, and they probably won't schedule that time for you. This is a time where you can ask questions. Things like, you know, what's the format of the store registry? You know, is it computerized? Is it paper-based? Questions like, is the couple assigned to one rep for the duration of the planning period? How quickly after the couple signs up for the registry is the registry active? How quickly is the registry updated when someone buys a gift? So let me state the obvious. So with the whole idea behind the registry, as I said, it's about your client selecting what they want and the quantities that they want. So when guests go to look at this registry, when someone picks an item that's on that registry, it disappears, or that quantity is diminished by that amount. So the question you're asking is, when someone goes and buys a gift, how long does it take for the registry to update so that someone else, if I want to, you know, if I buy the, I don't know, the coffee, the espresso machine, somebody else will not come back and buy the espresso machine if I've already done so. How quickly does the system update? Those are the kind of questions you want to ask. You know, what's the return policy for gifts that are purchased here? You're doing, as the wedding planner, all the things that your clients would probably likely, should actually do with a wedding registry, but probably won't do, probably have no real desire to, may not even have the time. Again, this is what your fee is for. This is why they're paying you to do these things. And when you have a relationship with a local store, or local stores, plural, this stuff will just be, you know, items that you'll have to, you know, double check on and look up in your files, because once you go out there and meet them, you don't want to be a stranger, but you'll have the basic ideas. You'll understand what the style is and their price range and things like that. Also, in your research, be aware of non-traditional registries. It's not just about the department stores. Your clients can choose to be part of a charity registry, for example, where they ask guests can make a tax-deductible donation in the couple's name. And that's a really great way for clients of yours that maybe have previously married or non-materialistic, or for whatever reason, they decide that rather than having gifts, material gifts, they would like a donation to a favorite charity or two made, you know, in their name. Registries can be for travel, so maybe your clients have a fund that goes towards their honeymoon or some other sort of vacation. Registries can be related to hobbies. So if your client's a wine enthusiast or foodies or something, they can have registries that are related to that. A registry item, which is slightly unusual but really a good one, is a replacement registry. There is a company, and I want to say the name is Replacements. Replacement is part of the name anyway. So your clients can actually register for missing items. Like if they've got a china set and they've got items missing, they can register for those missing pieces, you know, for china or flatware. So, you know, think outside the box, but there are lots of other ways where your clients can register for their wedding, okay? So take the time now to find out about these stores. Don't wait desperately until you have clients to do so. Vendor research is ongoing as a wedding planning business owner, as a bridal consultant. It's something you continually do. People go and come into business. People go out of business. People change what it is that they're doing. Never stop researching vendors and, you know, include wedding registries as part of that. Okay? So those of you just joining, welcome. You're listening to Confetti Radio. My name is Debbie Quain, and we are talking today about wedding registry rules and rigmarole. Say that a few times. And if you are in the chat, and I see many of you there, welcome. Laura, Mandy, Chazelle, I think Chazelle's gone, and two Lauras. Courtney, good to see you. Feel free to type your URL in the chat room, and that you can do that either at confettilive.com. or on blogtalkradio.com/confetti. Just follow the live link. If you're on the phone and you have a question, just hit the number 1 and I'll bring you on live. All right, so let's keep going. So how are guests notified about a couple's registry? Well, I can tell you right now, the way not to do this is on wedding invitations. Do not put any inserts, no wording on a wedding invitation about the wedding registry. That's not the place for that. An invitation is just that. It's an invitation to celebrate the wedding. Word of mouth is really the primary way that guests determine where your clients are registered. And guests will ask, you know, where are they registered? Where are you guys registered? They'll ask your clients. They may ask members of the bridal party, parents of the bride. So you want to make sure those key people know about it. If your couple has a wedding website set up for their wedding, or a Facebook page, or however they want to announce their wedding online, that's a really good place to list the registry information. So you can suggest that to your clients, suggest to them, you can only suggest that they do not include this information in their wedding invitations. And you know, I should have mentioned this right at the beginning. What I'm going over is a traditional overview of wedding registries. I just want you to use this as a base. It's not the be-all and end-all. Because again, as wedding planners, we are in a position where we are hopefully the authority on weddings. So our clients will come to us. So the thing is, we want to know what it is that how things are traditionally done, so we can explain that to them. There are lots of different cultures and different ethnicities do things differently. So I'm just going through traditionally how things are done. You can vary, you know, your clients may say, no, we're putting it in the invitations. There's nothing you can do about it. You just want to be the voice of reason to give them the guidelines of what they need to follow. You, the wedding planner, should be another source for where you'll be that. But you should be, communicating with them. With my clients, we have regular meetings where we just touch base about different elements, how the wedding planning process is going. And that should be a question. You know, did you register any place recently that you hadn't before? So that you know. So when someone asks that question, you can say, you know, they're registered at Crate and Barrel, or they're registered, you know, wherever. Inserting a note or wording in an invitation that says, no gifts, please, is just as offensive as listing where your clients are registered. Again, invitations are not the place to do that. By listing no gifts, please, in an invitation, it's a presumptuous thing, because now you're assuming that this person is giving you a wedding gift. And that's not what a wedding invitation is for. So, you know, steer your clients away from doing the no gifts, please, inside a wedding invitation. Not a cool thing to do. What about couples who want money? They're, you know, your clients who say that we've got all the stuff that we need. What we would like is, you know, some cash, some money towards whatever it is we're doing. We're buying a new home. And having said that, there are registries for mortgages too. So if your clients, the same way that funds can be contributed towards travel, there are registries set up. Some banks have that set up as a way for their clients, for their customers to set up a registry of sorts, so that wedding guests can contribute to that fund too. So that's something to research. For clients, the couples that want money, usually, and I say usually, not always, usually it's only close relatives or friends that will do that, because those are the people that are usually in the position to know that. Although in some cultures, you know, providing money is the norm. Again, I'm just giving you the traditional way of doing things. Gift giving varies by culture and by ethnic group. Word of mouth, again, is the best way to communicate that your clients want money for their gifts. It's not something they should be promoting. The courteous thing to do is for them to wait for guests to ask, where are they registered, or, you know, what is it that you folks want? What do you guys want for your wedding? And at that time, that's when that comes up. Again, do not list on invitations anything about gift preferences, you know, cash preferred or money. You know, just don't do that. Money is often presented as a check or as a U.S. savings bond, at least here in the U.S. Oftentimes, that money is presented in an envelope, sometimes at the reception. Sometimes it's sent ahead too. But, you know, if your clients are asking for money, and that's become common knowledge, you need, as a wedding planner, to be prepared for that on the wedding day, i.e. make sure there is some way to hold the money, whether it's the bride's purse, which could get really big and sort of unwieldy after a while, or they have the wedding things in different shapes, like a birdcage, looks like a mailbox covered in satin or something like that. You need to be prepared for that. So your clients may not be thinking about it, but you as Miss or Mr. Wedding Planner should be presenting this to them. Security may be an issue. if money is traditionally given for the, you know, for the ethnicity of the wedding that you're planning, or just you know that a lot of the guests are bringing money, think about security. And I mean, I know a wedding is a happy and joyous event, but let's keep it real. When someone hands you an envelope with money, if you're going about your duties, it's quite possible that you put the envelope down or you forget about it. So there needs to be a central area where the money goes, and that area needs to be secured. You know, whether it means you've got to get security there or someone there to monitor that. But don't wait until the wedding day to do that. Let me just take a peek. I see some questions here. Laura McAdams, hi Laura, is asking, okay to add it to their wedding page? Yeah, it is. Any place but the wedding invitation is really what we're talking about here, because the wedding invitation is just that. It's an invitation, and to mention anything about a gift in a wedding invitation is presumptuous, even though most of the wedding guests will purchase a wedding gift. You still, you know, it's just not the thing that's done. Again, these are just guidelines. Kim is saying, that's right, gifts should be what the guests are willing to give. Exactly. And in some instances, it's nothing. But you don't want to make any kind of assumptions like that. And Kim's saying a wedding box. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And they come in all different shapes and sizes and designs and things like that. Sasha, who is in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, I hope I say your name correctly. What about a registry for things needed for the wedding itself? Wedding planner registry. Oh, that's a neat idea. So you're saying... for maybe towards the caterer or something like that. I'm not aware of that, but that's a really clever idea. Have you seen that? Or is that something that you've just thought of? I think that's really neat. That's a really cool idea. We all know how expensive it is, or can be, to plan a wedding. So getting help with that, I think, is a really neat idea. But I don't know if I've ever seen that. So welcome again. I see a few of you are joining us in the Blog Talk Radio chat room. You're listening to Confetti Radio. Feel free to post your comments there. And guys, you know, you can post your Facebook fan page, your website URL, your Pinterest, because I noticed that a lot of times this is a great way to communicate with other people who are passionate about what it is that you do. So share. It's not just about me talking, as much as I love to talk. You know, communicate with one another. Just post in the chat. And if you want to watch the video stream, you can just go over to confettilive.com. But I really love this idea of the wedding planner registry. And if that's in place, I haven't had a chance. I've never seen it. And, you know, sometimes ideas are born like that. You know, when you come up with an idea, you know, just whether it's about registry or whatever, research that. If no one's doing it, see if there's a way that you can make that work. You know what I mean? It's with the internet, things that were so, that were far-fetched years ago are actually quite doable now. So, yeah, I like that idea. I like that a lot. Okay, so gifts. It just stands to reason that once gifts are being sent, the next thing is when the gifts are received, your clients need to say thank you. Now, you guys know I'm a stickler about the thank yous. Thank you letters are very, very important. I told you about this with my daughter, who can attest to this when, you know, she receives a gift. She needs to write a note to say thank you. So receiving a wedding gift is no different, even more so. So encourage your clients that, you know, to do the thank you, to send thank you notes, and suggest that they do this as they go. Suggest that they track the received gifts and send thank you gifts right away. Whether they use a paper-based system or they use an electronic system, the idea is that as with a lot of things, if you sort of let it build up and it's like one humongous task at the end, nobody really wants to do that. So if they can get into the habit of doing, you know, 3 or 4 thank you notes a week or something like that, that's a good thing. Thank you notes just, you know, should be short, can be short and sweet. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but they should be handwritten. You know, no emails or anything like that. On stationery. Personalized stationery is a really great way to send out thank you notes. I mentioned before in our invitation episode about, I think that was the episode, yeah, we talked about an embosser where you can sort of personalize stationery with a monogram or something. Technically, a monogram for the couple shouldn't be used until after the wedding. So if they're sending thank you notes for gifts that are received prior to the wedding, you know, maybe using initials instead might be good. So the initials of the bride and the groom might be a better solution than a monogram. Because again, technically, monogram happens when they truly are a couple. For gifts of money, you want to advise your clients that they never actually, when they're saying thank you, they actually never want to mention the amount of money that they got. So, you know, you're writing a note to Aunt Bertha to thank her. You know, you can say something like, thank you for the generous gift. We'll be using that towards our vacation, or we'll be using it towards our home, or whatever. But, you know, if she gave $100, you don't need to say thank you for the $100. Usually that's not the way it's done. Your couple, tradition, etiquette says that the couple should take no more than 3 months beyond the wedding to write thank you notes. Personally, I think 6 weeks is enough time. But maybe I'm a stickler, because the longer it takes, the less likely is it's going to happen. And as I mentioned before in another show, that when something like that takes a long time, when time drags out, we sort of get embarrassed and we're reluctant to even do it at all. So just get it done already. And that idea of having them do it in batches, like 3 or 4 thank you notes every week, or as they get the gifts, is a lot easier to deal with. And make sure your clients are ready to say thank you, because gifts, wedding gifts can start arriving any time after the couple announces their engagement. Once they say, once they're officially getting married, the wedding gifts can start rolling in, which is why it's important for them to register early. So, you know, some folks will just want to get the wedding gift out of the way. I hate to say it like that, but, and if they don't have their stationery ready to go, then that's the reason for them not to send the thank you note. So make sure that that they are ready to say thank you. And you just be the person that sort of nudges them. I was going to say push, but nudges a lot better, right, in that direction. Okay? So we're coming down to the end here. What do you need to know when it comes to wedding gifts? I'm just making my notes here, making sure I haven't forgotten anything. Are guests obligated to give gifts to the couple? It's usually the case that when a person is invited to a wedding, that they're going to provide them with a wedding gift. But, darn fly. But they're not obligated to do so, which is, again, why we don't put any references to gifts in the wedding invitations. If they're close to the couple, they're probably going to do that anyway. But there's no obligation for anyone to do that. And keep in mind, too, with regard to the wedding registry, guests don't have to use the registry to purchase gifts for the couple. Many of them will, but some of them won't. And they're not, you know, not all guests are going to do that. So let your clients know that. Let them keep, as long as they have that in their heads. You're registering for gifts, not everyone's going to, you know, refer to the registry. Also, registering does not guarantee that the couple will get everything that they ask for. After the wedding, there may be still a lot of gifts on there, or not, maybe not a lot, but there may be some gifts on there that they do not receive. So prepare them for that. It's quite possible that they may get everything that they've registered for. And of course, you know, your clients can register at several places, and it's a good idea for them to do that. You know, they can register maybe at 2 traditional stores, maybe at a place that is for their hobby, and then another registry for their travel. So they can mix it up, and mixing it up is good. So not only the price range variety, but a variety of places, because some guests are sticklers for tradition. And, you know, Aunt Bertha may be mortified to know that they've registered for a lawnmower. What is that? You know what I mean? So you make sure that you not make sure, but encourage your clients to mix it up a little bit when it comes to the wedding registry. Traditionally, gifts are sent to the bride or to the parents of the bride prior to the wedding. That's how it's traditionally done. And usually if the wedding gifts are sent to the bride's parents' home, they're actually addressed to the bride. A lot of instances, clients may be living together before their marriage, and in that case, then the wedding gifts may go directly to them. But if it's an instance where the guest doesn't know where the clients live, where the home address is, it'll go to the bride's home or to the bride's parents' home. So if they're asking what's traditionally done, that's how it's usually handled. In some cultures, gifts are brought to the wedding. A lot of the weddings I've planned, the gifts come on the wedding day. Be prepared for this. Be prepared for this. It's not and should not be an afterthought. You want to set up a wedding table for the gifts if you know that guests are bringing wedding gifts. And even if you don't expect them to do that, I would suggest setting up a wedding table just for the gifts anyway. You know, tablecloth, make sure it looks, sort of blends in with the rest of the room. And again, that security issue. Do you need it? Do you need security? Discuss this with your clients. You know, do they want a security guard? I mean, it doesn't have to be standing there in uniform, but the gifts need to be secured. You also need to determine how, where, who's going to take those gifts after the wedding. who's responsible for moving them from the reception site to wherever they're going. Is that you, wedding planner, or do we need to assign this to family members and friends? Do we have enough cars? Are they expecting a lot of gifts? Because depending, again, on how if gifts are being brought to the wedding reception, there may be a trailer load. I'm going overboard, of course. But there may be a lot of wedding gifts to take into account. So they may not all fit into Uncle Frank's car. There may need to be several vehicles or maybe several trips to get those gifts from point A to point B. So think about this and discuss that with your clients, okay? Let's see. Kim's asking a question. Can they use the dollars to get the items they didn't get? You mean if they're getting cash gifts? Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're asking, your clients get to do whatever they want to do with the money. So if that's what you're asking, Kim, clarify if I've got that wrong. In some cultures and parts of the world, displaying wedding gifts is the norm. I've never planned a wedding where this has happened. So the idea is that the gifts are displayed at home, usually before the wedding. So the gifts are they're open and they're just set up. If it's something, and if I'm curious if there's anyone here that has experienced that, or if that happens in your neck of the woods, I'd love to hear about that, because I've never actually seen it, but seen pictures of it and heard that in some places that the wedding gifts are just on display. If it's something that is done in your area as a wedding planner, make sure that you're a part of that. You know, if you have to charge additional for that service, do so. It's almost like you can create a tablescape. The ones that I have seen, they're just varying. They've got the tablecloth down to the floor, and the gifts are sort of arranged like at different heights. It's just like a window display almost. So, again, in some cultures, I've yet to do that. That is the norm, to display wedding gifts. Be a part of that. Also, you know, make sure that you're proactive and that you provide guidance to your clients when it comes to registering wedding gifts in general. They're going to come to you for questions, but even if they don't, make sure you provide them with that information. Including information about a wedding registry is a fantastic thing to include in your welcome kit, whether it's the form of a tip sheet or however you want to do it. Things that you can include in your welcome kit that relate to this wedding gift registry, you can include like sample wording for the thank you notes. You can just do a couple of paragraphs and just samples of what they can write in the thank you note. You can provide them with gift ideas for the attendants and the parents, because typically your couple will provide gifts to their bridal party. You can also maybe provide them with some pointers on etiquette about gift giving, about returns, about gift banking. Gift banking is not cool. Gift banking is the process where couples register at a particular store, right? But they know that and guests will purchase the gift, but they know that they're not going to actually, and the store usually knows that they're not going to take those gifts. So what they're doing is the value of the gift that the guest has purchased, the store is keeping tally of that. When everything is all said and done, all of the money that was used to purchase gifts, and I'm saying purchase in quotation marks because they're not actually being purchased, the store then takes that credit and allows the customer, your clients, to either go and buy one big splurgeful item. Splurgeful, is that even a word? Or use the credit in the store as they see fit. So that's what's called gift banking. Usually that comes with strings attached because the stores don't allow you to return stuff or give you credits or things like that. So gift, you can mention that, you know, in your tip sheet or in your welcome kit. And, you know, in your welcome kit, you can also provide them with alternative or non-traditional gift registries. There may be some places that your clients can register locally that are not on the national map. So as the local wedding planner, you would know that. So these are things that you can include in your welcome kit. Just make sure, really what I'm getting at is just you should be the go-to person for your clients and your clients' wedding guests when it comes to wedding gift registry. Be the expert. Just make sure that you know what's what. Not the most interesting thing you may think, but it's once you get involved and you understand. A lot of I found with wedding planning, once you know what's supposed to happen, you're a lot more comfortable talking about it. That stands to reason, right? So just, you know, listen to the show, listen to the replay, do a little bit of research about wedding gift registries, and share that information with your clients. You can post notes on your Twitter account, on your Facebook page, however you want to share that information with clients and potential clients. Okay? that's really the gist of what I wanted to share with you today. I see we have a question. Someone on the switchboard has a question, so I'm going to bring the person with the area code 503 live and hear what you've got to say. If you have any questions, please feel free to post them in the chat, and I'll take a stab at answering them. All right, let's see who's on the phones. Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi, it's Kiki in Portland.
Hi, Kiki in Portland. I got your email today. How are you doing?
Oh, you did get it. Good. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's going on?
All right. So you actually answered my question.
I did?
I had a real eye-opener of a wedding. I was working with another planner. Actually, I was working with the, it's complicated. I was working with the assistant of another planner, and they asked me to help out with a wedding, and they apparently always do high-end weddings. And this was not a high-end wedding, and it turned out it was more what I was used to. And it turns out that the head coordinator, the head planner, did not want to do a guest table, and I kept telling her, these people are going to bring gifts. And she kept saying, no, they send them. And so that was my question, you know, and you've already addressed it, was with the gifts. And she was very surprised when, after the ceremony, there was some, you know, 20 gifts all across this table and spread out all around the floor. And she had decorated this table so that no one could put gifts there, and I kept telling her to stop doing it. So I was, you know, wondering, is that something that's very different from high-end weddings where people seem to just know? And I'm encountering that myself. I don't do high-end weddings. I generally kind of do, you know, the middle-class weddings. And I'm finding that the people who do the high-end weddings, those people seem to understand the rules and the etiquette, and it kind of seems to just be, I don't know, transferred down the generations in a way that it seems, I hope I'm not offending anyone, but it seems like middle-class people don't really seem to know those things, and so they don't send the gifts because they don't know they're supposed to do that.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail right on the head, Kiki, and, you know, again, when I'm talking about tradition, you're absolutely right, because this is information that's handed down. The same way we teach our daughters things and we may teach our sons things, if something isn't the norm for you, then you just don't know to share that information. So, you know, traditionally, that's how it was done. Gifts were sent ahead of time. And, you know, I'm going to say back in the day, but, I mean, that's when you would see the display of gifts, because all these gifts would arrive, you know, way ahead of the wedding. This was happening, you know, before the turn of the century. So This is information that's been handed down. As time goes by and we sort of dismiss certain things we just don't do, and, you know, we just think it's okay to, we want to put, you know, no kids at the wedding reception and an invitation. These are things that aren't traditionally done. So we can, you know, plan for the best. Is it plan for the best, hope for the worst, plan for the worst, hope for the best, or something like that, whatever that terminology is. But let's just keep it real. A lot of people will bring the wedding gifts to the ceremony and to the wedding. I've done it, and no, I'm not high-end by any means, but just from who's this woman? But I've brought gifts to the wedding, but, you know, as you learn, and which is what I want us to all do, is just to understand how it's traditionally done. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't know that. So if people don't have the luxury of an informed wedding planner such as you, Kiki, then they're going to bring gifts to the wedding. And if we're not in a position to sort of let everybody know that, then we need to prepare for that, because you don't want to embarrass anyone. That's the key of what we do, right? We make it all seem so seamless, and we're just, you know, we're just providing information. So You're right, though. It's just not, it is a traditional, it's an etiquette thing. And I hate to say it's about class, but when it comes down to etiquette, that does play a part. Let's keep it real. That does play a part. So, you know, and kind of get a feel from your clients. They may not even know. They may not even know. But if you're a wedding planner, I think we should be sharing what we know, not just with our clients, but with our clients' wedding guests. If they have a wedding website, maybe you take a portion of that wedding planner's corner and you post regular things on there. And people just say, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize we should be sending gifts ahead of time. That's how we pass that information on. But just being prepared for that. And even if you think most of the people are going to send gifts ahead of time, set up the wedding table anyway. People are going to bring gifts to the wedding. It almost always happens. So you were right on. You were absolutely right. Yeah. Smart cookie. But we knew that, didn't we? We knew that. So thank you for your question. Does that help? I mean you already figured it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I just kind of wanted confirmation, because I am noticing these discrepancies, especially with everyone where we're talking. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, I've referenced it before in other chats or in other talks where, you know, I'm on the West Coast. We are so far behind what everybody's doing on the East Coast, and we've got this lag. And I find it very interesting to see, you know, what the traditions are around the United States alone, not even counting the other countries of, you know, people that are participating in the talks. And it's very interesting how we have these different area locales that do things differently.
Yeah.
So
you're absolutely right. When I heard about this wedding display, I'm like, wait a minute, people just open up the gifts and just put them on display? Really? And it's just, it sort of blew my mind. But I'm going to venture to say, I think it happens more in the South than it does anywhere else in this country. I've never seen it. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think that's so ostentatious. Why would you do that? But if that's the way it's done, that's the way it's done. I just think it's a strange thing to me. And you as a wedding planner need to know what goes on, not just in your area, but as you say, different parts of the country and different parts of the world. You never know where that wedding's going to take place or where folks are coming from and their background. So, yeah, it's good to know that. It's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener for sure.
Well, very good. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Kiki. Good to have you on board. I missed you for a while.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make a couple shows, so.
That's okay. You're not under any obligation, but you always have something that just sends me over the edge. I'm just, bursting into a fit of giggle. So I'm glad I was able to maintain my composure today, because usually you manage to do it. You always manage to do it. I love you for that. But thanks for joining us, Kiki. Great, great point. I appreciate it.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Great question. So, just as wedding planners, I don't claim to know everything, but if you just take a moment to research different areas, you'll learn a lot. And once you can have a discussion with someone and explain, how things are done, you've elevated yourself to expert. You've justified your fee, and they know, well, let me go talk to Kiki, let me go talk to Debbie, she'll know the answer. And even if we don't, we say, okay, I'm going to get the answer for you. We refer to our etiquette book, or we go online and we get the information. We've learned and they have learned. And just when you learn, guys, repurpose. Just share that. Just keep sharing it. Don't hold all that information to yourself. We're talking about basic stuff that can be found anywhere. But when you start to, to verbalize, when you start to share that, you are positioning yourself as an expert. And that's what you want. That's what you want. Because that's when the clients will find you. And that's when vendors are going to start recommending your services to other people, because you know what it is that you're talking about. And Kiki, as Kiki said, things change, things are different. Back in England, I told you when I did my sister's wedding, we, the bridesmaids, came down the aisle after the bride. It was only when I came to the U.S. and realized the bridesmaids go down ahead of the bride. That's something that you may not be aware of, but knowing it now, you're like, oh, okay. So when this English bride decides that she wants to get married here and she wants her bridesmaids to come down after her, then you understand that. You can relate to that. Things like that. All right? Okay. Any other questions? I'm just taking a quick peek at the chat. I don't see any there. And nobody posted Facebook, or is the system not allowing you to do that today? Because I didn't even see that it was letting you put your... no one posted any Facebook or anything like that. I don't understand. I'm going to post mine. Ha, 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 ha. So... let me put that in. I'm on facebook.com/confetti radio, so please feel free to go in there and like that page. Okay. And Kiki brought up a really good point a few shows ago. When you're liking a page, you really should be liking a page as you, the profile, not your page, because when you like another page as a page, if you're on Facebook, that makes perfect sense to you. It doesn't count towards that person's likes. I don't know what that's about. Well, I do know what that's about. It's so that people can't manipulate that system. But yeah, you need to like someone's. If you want it to count for their likes, you should be liking their page as you, the profile, as opposed to you, the page. Does that make sense? Everybody says yes. That makes sense. Great. Thank you. Okay. So I want to thank you for joining me, for listening to the show. Please keep in mind that Confetti Radio is on iTunes. I would love for you to subscribe and comment, please. So if you go on iTunes and look for Confetti Radio and just give some feedback, I'd love it. I'd love you for life. Okay? Just making one last check of the switchboard to make sure that there are no questions here. I don't want to miss anyone. I've done it before, and I don't want to do that today. Okay, looks like we're clear. All right, so my name is Debbie Quain. Please join me for our next live broadcast on Tuesday, September 11th, which is a poignant date, not only here in the U.S., but across the globe. I truly believe that. So, but I'm going to go ahead with the show on September 11th, next Tuesday, and we'll be talking about the ins and outs of the wedding ceremony, okay? Please share this resource with someone else that you know who's thinking about planning weddings for a living. As always, wishing you love and success. Goodbye. Thanks for being here.